Hello, and welcome to Media Ministry at Holden Village. Today's date is July 20th, 2004. Today's session number is CAJ 2004-02. Today's speaker is Joyce Caldwell. The lesson for today is Summoning Out What We Shall Be, Parables of God's People, Called to Community. Let's listen in.
For any of you who weren't here yesterday, and the theme for the Bible studies for this week is Summoning Out What We Shall Be, Parables of God's People. And yesterday we looked at sort of a parable, using the parable of the body from the letters of Paul. Today we're going to start to get into one of the parables of Jesus, and for the rest of the week we'll be doing some actual engagement with parables. Today is called to community. And so in a sense of community, and kind of in keeping with where this parable is and what it talks about, first of all, to get a sense of who this community is that's gathered here, I'd like to have all of the people who have come to Holden three or more times stand up. Okay. Kind of look at who you are and who is seated around you. Okay, and just share a couple words that pop out of what you really like about Holden.
Serenity.
Okay.
Pitch-in attitude.
Village life.
Yeah. Feeling of community.
Okay.
Simplicity.
Reminders of what's important. Worship.
Okay.
Teaching. I love to draw so many teachers.
Okay, you can be seated. And then all people who have been here once before or twice before, one, two, or if you didn't stand before, one, two, or three times. Okay. So how many times?
This is the second.
The second time?
Second.
Okay. Okay. So you can sit down. And all the people who are here for the very first time. Okay. And notice who you are and who's seated. And I invite you in the celebration and joy of community for those who were standing this last time, who have only been here, this is the first time, that those who stood first, maybe notice and engage in conversation so that there can be a sense of bringing newer people into the community, to kind of share all those words that you share of what Holden has meant to you, that you can share that sense with those who are here for the very first time. So we are called to be in community. And we're going to look today at the parable of the workers in the vineyard from Matthew 20 to take a look at what it means to be in community and where the challenges are to us within community. And so we are going to turn right to that parable. And if you three maybe want to join over here, okay, so that you're also part of the community around the circle. And we'll be looking today at Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And we're going to take kind of two readings of this. So the first time, we'll just read it through, and I want you just to kind of listen to it and hear any words or phrases that sort of jump out for you. So would anyone like to volunteer to read it, verses 1 through 16 of Matthew 20? Okay.
The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a silver coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. So he told them, "You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage." So they went. Then at 12 o'clock, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. It was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. Why are you wasting the whole day? You're doing nothing, he asked. No one hired us, they answered. Well then, you go and work in the vineyard, he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last and ending with those who were hired first. The men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock were paid a silver coin each. So when the men who were the first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they would get more, but they were given a silver coin each. They took their money and started grumbling against the employer. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, while we put up with a whole day's work in the hot sun. Yet you paid them the same as you paid us. Listen, friend, the owner answered one of them, I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for 1 silver coin. Now take your pay and go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I am generous? And Jesus concluded, so those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.
Okay, thank you. Words and phrases that struck you as you were listening.
Are you jealous?
Okay. Yeah.
Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money?
Mm-hmm.
50.
Okay. Other words or phrases?
Generous.
Generous?
What's right, what can you?
Okay.
Unusual.
Idle. Okay.
I have not cheated.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked longer and harder.
Mm-hmm.
Grumble.
Mm-hmm. Lots of grumbling going on there.
Because no one has hired us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what I want you to do now is get into groups of four. And we might have a couple people, if I counted right, that we might have 2 groups of 5, but if you can, get into groups of 4s. And just sort of circle your chairs in a group of 4. Okay, no one has more than 5.
I'm steady.
Okay, now, within your group, number off from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Just get your number from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5.
3. 5. 20.
20.
Okay, everybody have your number? Okay, you are now going to be a part of this story. Number ones, listen again to this story as the workers who came first in the day. You are that person. Feel the sights, the sounds, the smells, the relationships, how the day is going for you. You are that person, number ones, first in the day, or early morning workers. Number twos, you are the worker who came in the middle of the day. 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock, that group. Number threes, you are the worker who came at 5 o'clock. So think how you're feeling all day long, sight, smells, relationships. Number fours, you are the landowner.
Oh.
That gets a reaction. And number fives, you're the manager. Okay, so be that person, and I will read the parable to you again, and listen as your person, and see how you are throughout, and you'll be talking in that first person, so enter into that person as a first person. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So, in your small group, talk to each other. How do you feel about each other? You are that person. Talk in the first person. Talk among yourselves. Okay, number ones. Let's hear from some of the number ones. Number one in this group, how did you feel?
The whole thing is out of control. I mean, it's not only, first of all, we don't have a chance to, we may not get hired there, so we're subject to the landowner. Then, now he seems to be changing the rules. The whole thing has gone south.
I'm forming a union. And
okay.
Okay.
I thought I could do that.
You were one. You,
so I'm you, one. I didn't think suing was an option. It's her money, and she could spend it the way she wants.
Apparently, I love it.
I'm going to go at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
I could deal with it. I could deal with it. I was happy to have work, and I was glad to have other people join me to help. Until
she was the 6 in the morning person.
I started rest number one. But until they took those other people out and made me work a whole another hour longer at the end of the day, while they all those other four groups got paid.
So you were still working while they were paid.
Yeah, oh, they just paid me first and let me go. I never would have known. during those other periods. I'm going to take an hour to call these different four groups and meet them. So I was
coming back tomorrow.
I was okay to that point, but then I thought that was really bad management and really stupid human relations.
Any other number one that we didn't hear from? Okay, number twos. How did you feel?
I was glad I wasn't a one.
Well, I probably got up late because I was out there at noon, but it was pretty hot, and I worked in the hot part of the day. But I put in a pretty good long day, and so when I got paid, I just didn't feel quite right about the others that hadn't worked as long as I had in the hot sun.
We didn't grumble as much.
We grumbled, but not as much.
See, you just kind of want to be invisible, didn't you?
I decided that the number two was really the vineyard philosopher. didn't have to really teach any courses, but he got room and board free, just like the people who do have to teach, like you. I felt right at home, man. I want to share an experience I had that kind of brings this home. We live in Seattle,
And there's a place where you come off the viaduct, which is, if people don't know Seattle, is the elevated freeway that goes before the, right in front of the piers down along the waterfront. Come off there, and all day, every day, there are lines of men waiting to get work as you come off there. And they're all day, every day, even sometimes, these are even the weekends, too. And a lot of them are Hispanic, and they're looking just for day labor jobs, just for something to get some money. And you know, and this struck me as just, you know, that's always a very strong image. I go by there and see, and there's a certain desperation you see in people's faces. Some are relaxed, some are looking very desperate. It's a whole thing, but they're just coming off this freeway in one's busy life, one encounters these aliens. Yeah.
And all day, like at 4 and 5, there's people.
Yeah, it doesn't find us in the morning. It's people who are there waiting just for a chance to get some money to feed their families or whatever. So,
thank you. And we're going to come more into that discussion. So, thank you. Any other number threes that didn't speak? Okay, landowners, how did you feel? What was going on?
Well, I did everything I followed through with everything I said. I was truthful, and I followed through with everything and all the agreements I made with everybody else. I didn't break my word. I stayed true to my own integrity and my principles.
Okay.
That's exactly the way I feel, too. I'm glad to help people out. And they needed a job.
And you had the money to do it.
Mm-hmm. I had the money to do what I wanted to do with it.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do.
I'm a little concerned about the lip I got from my manager, though.
So you're going to be back tomorrow.
Yes, but hopefully with an understanding that life is not fair.
Okay.
Well, the first thought was, I'm going to retire tomorrow. And I'm going to turn it over to my manager. Let's see, what else? As a landowner, as many of you have said, apparently I had that privilege to do with as I felt. And I felt the manager, or the owner, was undoubtedly had heard other stories of parables that were always ended up so well for somebody. Because if you look at each parable, somebody really was able, the thousands were fed and everything like that. And so I guess I put my trust in the Lord that it would work. And could be a good landowner and share it with everybody.
Okay.
That's one thing came to my mind. But I had a good manager.
Well, that helps. Landowner here.
Well, one thing I did feel very much that I was in control. But I also felt that I didn't have unlimited resources. And I was aware that what I was paying was only enough for somebody to feed their family for one day. And I didn't want to send anybody away without at least that much. So I gave that much to everybody.
Okay. And landowner, back to
I just felt I made a bargain, and that's the way it was. That was the wage, and they agreed, and sorry, it didn't work.
So even though they were arguing about fairness and justice.
Well,
and
so, bargain is bargain. Real.
Yeah.
Quit grumbling. You've got to... some money in your pocket, which you wouldn't have had if you hadn't worked. And there's no union that tells me I can't do what I want to.
Even
and so, go home and be happy.
Tomorrow there may be a union.
Somebody brought up suing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have a top group there. So good thing you had a manager. Landowner?
Well, the landowner was a good Lutheran, and so the need of the neighbor was most important. And he had three neighbors in need.
Okay.
And they all got enough to meet the needs.
Managers, how did you feel? Stuck in a hard place there.
I just was doing what I was told. I mean, I sympathized, you know, but I just didn't really have any control following what my owner said.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. I'm a little concerned about tomorrow.
As the manager, I may have nobody, you know, or
yeah.
lot of
and I am hired, you know, by the landowner, so I need to do what he says. But I'm a little anxious, you know, about what might happen here. Mm-hmm. But I felt good about, you know, having everybody have a day's wage. But meanwhile, I've got to deal with tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really, as a manager, I was really concerned with my identity because the landowner hired the people. And then the manager was sent to pay them. And they grumbled to me. But then as you read this, it sounds like it's the landowner talking because he says, "Don't I have the right?"
Yeah.
So I didn't know whether suddenly I didn't have a job anymore and he'd taken over from me. Or,
take it to the man.
Yeah, exactly. Does it sound in here like they're talking to me? It sounds like they're talking to the head person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was sure. I'm not sure I have a job tomorrow.
Yeah, but it is interesting. Well, you got stuck doing the payment while all this other stuff was going on around you. Manager here.
Yeah, this is just absolutely what makes this job horrible. Here you got this guy deciding to do cook, and you know, how am I going to get work out of anybody tomorrow? I mean, you know, it's got them thinking that, well, I'll just hang around till 2, so in that one game, you know, here's, you know, this bunch of clowns complaining all the time. And, you know, what's fair is a deal's a deal, you know. And, you know, once you cut a deal, you can't expect to have it be any better, so. I don't know, I think the manager's gone nuts, or the owner's gone nuts, but, you know. And I have to pay the price for it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't the number one person.
I was an absentee owner.
Any other managers?
Manager here?
Okay, in your same groups, and you can join that group, they have 4. In your same groups now, you can step out of your roles, and I put some questions up on for you to think about. Now to talk about. Based on your experience, and that could be your experience within the church, could be your experience within a local congregation. This is a parable you can take back and use in this kind of discussion in a congregation. Based on your experience within the church, within society, could be in a workplace, with whom do you most identify in this text? You talked about identifying with the third person, but overall, what has been an experience for you, either as a first, a middle, last, or manager? So who do you identify with most? Why? So kind of share your experience. So give a little time for each person to share your experience in identification with one of those. And the reality is we probably identify with all at different times. So kind of think about where you may most identify in some situation. Then talk about in a group, what are the messages that you have received, either within the church or within society, of who is first, who is middle, who is last, who is manager? How do you see the attitudes of the workers played out? There was a lot of anger, suing, jealousy, grumbling, lots of attitudes played out here. How do you see those attitudes of the workers played out in the church or in society? What is the source of anger for those who are first? If you think in your life and you see some of those who are first, who are angry, what is the source of their anger and of what are they afraid? And lastly, if you have time in your group, talk about how is this parable a parable of race?
Race.
Okay, I'll give you about 15 to 20 minutes. I'll check in 15 minutes to see how far you are. It has sounded rich and wonderful. We'll call your attention back to the whole group, and we'll do a little sharing back. So I'd like you to kind of think about maybe which question most grabbed your group or some piece from your discussion that you would like to share with the whole group so we can kind of hear some of all of the wonderful things that were going on. So any group want to share first?
You talked about extensively about how this is a parable of race. And, you know, it's a lot like the University of Michigan where law school, where black people are given preferential treatment to get in because of unfair practices that happened to their race over the years. And how unfair that seems, even to, you know, really devout Christians, because they didn't have anything to do with it, you know. And, you know, these people are like 5 o'clock people, you know, and all of a sudden they're getting preferential treatment.
Okay. Anything else for your group?
I retired.
Okay, another group. Is this group here?
Well, my friend is urging me to say one thing I said, which is we're talking about this. What are people afraid of? What is the source of anger? What are people afraid of? Mm-hmm. And I said that. I think it's really hard for us to have a true attitude of equality. We want to feel superior somehow, because if we're not superior, we're inferior.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard to truly take the attitude that we're all equal. And, uh-huh.
And as part of that discussion that came out of that question of what are they afraid? What is it we really fear that is so hard for us to accept someone else being treated unfairly in the sense of overbeginness rather than other? Just wanted to keep pondering.
Yeah, that's a deep question.
What is it that we're really, really afraid of?
Yeah.
I was kind of struck on the economic part of this. We are in this society so hung up on how much we earn per hour and how much we earn and how many hours versus somebody else, and I think that's come about with landowners and maybe historically taking advantage of workers. And in this case, we have a very enlightened landowner, in effect, who I think could change the concept that he's not hiring you by the hour, so that you have to be worried and jealous about it, but he's, or she is, him, is asking you to perform a task. And the more we get tied into the how many hours do I have to work, how many coffee breaks do I get to get, how much per hour am I making, how come this guy is making X number of dollars, how come as a lawyer charging $200 an hour, and the client who's working harder than you ever wanted to work in a life, and that's why you're doing what you're doing, is struggling on it. But you get this competition, and if you had a landowner, a whatever you want to call that person, that God or something who is helping you, asking for you to perform tasks and asking you to do things in your community, and you have confidence that that is a, quote, fair or a reasonable result, it may work a lot better than this charging after 3 hours. And our perceptions of fairness become based upon what is she making or he making versus what I'm making, and it's not fair, and you lose total perspective of the fact that you're here to a school teacher who is working long hours and making maybe $40,000 a year versus somebody in the cotton fields who is working harder work and making a lot less, and you've got some CEO or some lawyer or some doctor who's making these big bucks, which are outrageous, but that's what the market bears. And it's just a different way of thinking, and I think it's refreshing. I wish we could get there.
Okay, you had. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that one thing that came to my mind is the source of anger for the first, and what are they afraid of? One thing that came to me was that it would always be that way. Every day would be a day that I work at 6 and the others don't. Like, it'll never change. It'll always be unfair to me. And never, you know, swing around and balance out.
Okay. Yeah.
We talked about school and how you work so hard for the grade, and when you're working, you work so hard for the dollar. And maybe what's really important is the knowledge or the work and not that end piece thing. That really you're a better person for the knowledge and for the work as opposed to the grade and the ultimate dollar.
I think those are, there's a, the piece about being afraid too, there's a sense of, well, if I'm not paid for being here all day more, what am I valued? Am I important? What's my worth? Does the owner not know? Did they not see what I did? Doesn't what I've done count? The fear that what we've done, if we worked all day, doesn't matter.
This group.
I think I want to counter something here in terms of his Paul, I think, is you were talking about the situation at the University of Michigan. And I look at myself, and I look at my situation, and I look at my preferential situation. That, I mean, I was born right at the top of the heap. I'm a white male. I was born in an upper-middle-class family. You know, I had it all. I mean, I didn't do anything that I know of to deserve all that. I just got it. You know, I just landed in it. But the thing I think that I need to remind myself of, and I think that there's also a tremendous responsibility in landing in that role, and then in realizing that's something not to be fearful of losing or something to try to hold on to, but that's something to try to share. That's a realization that this is a blessing. And what's the best way that I can use this blessing to share it, to make it so that it, you know, and that's just a different perspective in that. And I'm certainly not saying that I do that terribly well. I mean, it's a constant thing to have to remind myself. But in contrast to the worker standing in the street coming off the viaduct in Seattle who have to show up every day hoping they'll just get enough money to feed their family. That's, you know, I was born in a completely different place. And you know.
You know, what's so intriguing to me is that this is, you know, we live in Western Michigan, which is a very conservative area, and the people who are leading the charge on trying to get this preferential treatment reversed are the Christian right. It's scary to me.
That's the question then of what are they afraid?
Yeah.
Let's get this group first then.
Well, we, there are a variety of different views. I'm going to try to sum up. The landowner was in control of everything. That was fairly arrogant in the way he chose to dispense stuff. And then, when called into question, became real self-righteous to keep his position. I'm really quite a generous guy. What are you guys complaining about? So that he runs the whole show, and everybody is at his beck and call. So to that degree, if you don't spiritualize this and only see it as an economic situation, then it becomes a parable of race in that the statistics show that those who are people of color, any color but white, are more economically, generalizing, off. The gap gets greater. So how does this become a parable of race if you make that equation? And we then, who are white, are in charge of everything, and we dispense our favors at will, even somewhat erratically, with no system. Another possibility.
Thank you. Yeah, just a couple real brief comments.
So we're talking a little bit about diversity there. I know there was a richness to my education for having the diversity in my classrooms. And if we have to do things to get that diversity in the classroom, I think we're better served to have it.
And maybe in the church.
And maybe in the church.
Most definitely.
Do you have a comment?
Oh, yes. An insight kind of that came to Keith was the realization that if I was acting as number one in this group, and if number three or the manager landowner had said to me, would you want to trade places with that person? I realized I wouldn't have wanted to, because what came to me was, that's what often bothers me in those kind of situations, my conscience won't let me do that, wouldn't let me go to work late and then expect to get the full. And so it's just kind of an insight for me, because I can't let myself do that. I'm envious or jealous or whatever of the person who can in these situations, and I feel upset because they got...
It's your work ethic.
Yeah.
I hope that you, because our time is about up, let this parable percolate. I just want to sum up some of all the comments that I've heard here. This is a powerful parable, and I've used it in many places around the church, and every time I learn something more. I mean, it goes deep when you really start to dig into this parable, that if we look at the parable as it begins, for the kingdom of heaven is like, and that if the landowner is God in the parable, and if the kingdom of heaven says that everyone is in and everyone is equal, we would say, yeah. And then I'm just amazed that Jesus told this parable and put money into it. We're hooked like that. I mean, Jesus got us and he said, you got to look at some of this. Church, deal with it. It's like he's put us immediately into the middle of it, and it doesn't take more than a second to get into that conversation as workers of how we feel about this parable. So there's kind of three levels in this parable. That first is that pain of comparison, that how quickly we get set up into that feeling of comparison, and how much in all of those conversations we can see that comparison, that we get set up against one another. The second piece is the valuing of all of the workers. I mean, you would think that those who've been working all day and you see more coming in to help pick those grapes would say, there's more help here. And even at five, we'll get the work done and there's help. But there isn't that sense of feeling. And then the third piece is the generosity of God and how difficult it is to accept that generosity. Thinking about within that generosity, those first workers do not say, and I think this is true from what I've been able to gather from the Hebrew or Greek, which I don't read, that the translation in most is not, you paid them equal to us. It is, you made them equal to us. It's the question you've got at back there of my work. So it changes the whole context from wages to worth, from pennies to personhood, that sense of you made them equal to me. I mean, for me, that's one of those other really deep questions in this parable of, where do I get hooked? Where do I say, God, you made them equal to me? And God, you're saying, all of that music, all of those gifts, all of that is part of the church. I mean, and that's the piece of, you know, who are those people that we would see as not quite equal, or that we would want to see having fewer resources than what we have? If I've been Lutheran all my life, shouldn't I be the one to decide how worship happens in my congregation? Shouldn't I decide whose music gets sung and whose liturgy gets spoken and which language it gets spoken in? I mean, all of those kinds of big questions that start to get raised of, you know, where is God's generosity in this and how do we see it? And it's kind of that bottom line question in here for each of us as baptized Christians of, how far do we see God's generosity going? And where do we see ourselves within that? And those questions of the third peoples that many mentioned for those third workers, that obviously the landowner must have seen them early in the day, because he says, why have you been standing here idle all day? That means he saw them all day long, saw them standing. And like some of you said, they said, because no one hired us. Wasn't I good enough? What's wrong with me? Maybe the answer is, no one has invited me. No one has asked me into the church. I haven't been invited. Why am I standing here right outside? Because no one has invited me. Some deep questions. And the reality of where this parable is placed, it's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the gospel that's written to those who have been Jews all of their lives, and it's written in the midst of a cultural controversy in the church. Do you have to become a Jew first to become a Christian? You know, the question you need, do you have to become German or Scandinavian or etc. before you become Lutheran or whatever the European heritage is in the mainline Protestant denominations? What kind of lens are we putting on? How are we seeing that place? So it is in that context that this parable comes. So some deep questions in here. So it's that context that Matthew says, church, look at this parable of Jesus and wrestle deeply with it. And all of those things that you raised. You raised some deep, powerful questions. So enjoy the day and wrestle with some of them.